the person who wins is the person that can use the time they save the most wisely. If I was a smart leader, I'd be doing the things that someone like Matt LaHood does, walking the floor, checking everyone's mood, asking how they are, engaging in human conversation. That's how you win, I think, is by being smart about what you do with ChatGPT and then being extra smart about what you do with the time you save.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking, and strategies to elevate your results. For more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier for your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. And to get new episodes of Elevate directly to your inbox, sign up at eliteagent.com/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, everyone. It's Sam here. In today's episode, I'm excited to share something a little bit different with you. It's a recent interview that I did with Jonathan Creek for his show, Spring Into Action. We had a super fascinating discussion on the impact of AI on business, particularly in the real estate industry. During this conversation, we explored and Jonathan asked me a heap of questions around how AI tools like ChatGPT are revolutionizing the way we communicate, create content, and streamline processes in the real estate industry. I shared some super practical examples of how real estate agents and property managers can leverage AI to save time, improve efficiency, and provide better service to their clients. We also touched on the importance of adaptability and having a learning mindset in this rapidly evolving technological landscape. While AI can be a powerful tool, I think it's crucial to understand its limitations and also to be able to review the output before using it. Don't just simply press Control C, Control V. One thing to note is that this podcast was recorded in about August last year. So a few things have changed in the AI landscape since then. And if you want to be kept up to date with all the latest changes and capabilities of ChatGPT in real estate, please head over to AIpoweredagents.com, where I post usually 2 to 3 times a week on the different things that are happening, and it will really help you stay ahead of the curve. I think if you listen right to the end of this, you'll find a lot of value in this episode, and particularly towards the end where I share some of my favorite resources for exploring AI further. Obviously, I have a course which is available for you to register at, which will help you to save time, get across all the AI things, communicate better, and yes, even win more listings with my proactive agent strategy. So if you get some time after listening to this episode, please check that out at AIagentCourse.com. But for now, without further ado, let's dive into my interview with Jonathan Creek on Spring Into Action. Enjoy.
Hey, Samantha, welcome to Spring Into Action. It's great to have you. Really appreciate your time.
Hey, Jonathan, thanks for having me.
Now, was that opener enough hype for you? Because I know you love the hype.
Yeah, that was plenty of hype. Don't believe the hype about me anyway.
Oh, no, the hype about you is strong and I've witnessed you backing it up. So don't talk yourself down like that. Spring Into Action is, I'm not sure if you have watched it previously or not, but it's a very casual chat show style investigation, I suppose, into your thoughts in the space of real estate and today technology and how technology can help real estate be different and be better. And I think that's the important key, is that sometimes people get romanced by technology that doesn't necessarily make things better. The first question straight off the bat is, does AI make business better?
I think for sure AI makes business better in a number of ways if used wisely. So the thing about AI is it will save you time and it will make you smarter, but I think it's what you do with the time you save and what you do with the extra smarts that will really make the difference.
That is a great answer, because I see so many people getting romanced by the latest invention of things. And I think crypto and NFTs was probably the best example recently of humans getting carried away with themselves despite the reality of it, particularly NFTs. You see now, you know, YouTubers that were all over promoting their own NFTs are now running away from any sort of advertising deals that involve them. AI, I see a lot of small business operators in particular looking at going to AI as some sort of shortcut so that they can go and play golf.
Yeah, That's what I'm saying is, like, if you use AI to make your business more efficient and then go and use the time you save to play golf, then you're kind of in a bit of a neutral position, except for your handicap might have gone down a bit, I guess, which maybe is, if that's what you're after, power to you. But if what you're looking to do is to grow your business, the smart thing to do with AI is to save time on the admin-y type stuff and spend that time doing more human things and more creative things with both your customers and, I would say, your team.
That's awesome. Sam, before we really dive into the world of AI, let's explore your background. You run an incredible voice for real estate, a website by the name of Elite Agent. It's a great publishing arm. I dive into it often. It's got some incredible amounts of insights and resources. So me attempting to run this show is almost a little bit embarrassing compared to what the value of stuff you guys put out over there. How did you get into the space? Where did the story begin?
I think so many people know my story, but basically I used to work for another magazine. It was my second job. So I was a single mother 10, 13, 14, 15 years ago, and I worked for PwC back when it was called. Yeah, and I actually needed a second job to make ends meet. So I worked for a guy in the real estate industry that had a magazine and just ended up really loving it more than my day job. And I mean, look, there was a bit of a roller coaster in the middle of that, in that his business didn't last because it was a print magazine. It was sort of happening right at the time when print was being disrupted everywhere, not just in the magazine space, but in the newspaper space as well. I believe in the internet. I believed in the internet in the 80s. I believed in the internet in the 2000s, and I still believe in the internet now. He did mention the stuff about NFTs and things like that. They're a relatively new thing, whereas things like the internet was around for a long time before it took off, the same way that AI, I think, has been around for a long time before the 30th of November last year when OpenAI unleashed ChatGPT on the masses unexpectedly and quietly. Yeah, I think it's probably here to stay. I believe in AI. We're in a relationship. I think it's serious. And I don't see it going anywhere.
It's interesting that when you're talking about the internet back in the early days, I remember being exposed to the internet fairly early on, but it wasn't something I could access myself in my own home. Like, we just didn't have computers connected to the internet, but my cousin did. Now, you're talking about a kid who was 14 years of age, a couple of years older than me, running notice boards on the original internet. And the problem that kept arising was he was using the phone lines and my mum could never ring her sister. And this guy, he's now in Arizona. He's worked for big companies like GoDaddy and a few others and big the American government around security and stuff like that. So he was really early on into it. But we'd never see him because he's in the room on the internet. And I reckon he was wasting half his time just waiting for these notice boards to load up. But a fascinating time when you think about where it's come from.
Oh, absolutely. I think about the noise a fax machine used to make. And then I think about the noise of what a dial-up modem used to make. I am that old. You know, I remember all that stuff. And I'm also that old to be very grateful that when I was in my 20s and hanging around bars like Minsky's and stuff like that when I was younger, that there was no internet, that there was no Facebook. I'm very grateful for that too.
I'm just grateful there weren't cameras in phones. I think that saved a lot of us a lot of stress over the time. I talk to my kids, I'm like, yeah, you know what? Everyone in the room is going to have a camera in their phones or a video camera, right? So they're recording it. So you got to be really careful. We didn't have that problem. It was just move on, done. What is your very first recollection of either a computer or the internet?
Probably back in high school, we had these micro B computers.
Yeah, I had one. The double disk drive 128K.
Yeah, actually, even before that, you know, while I dated, my boyfriend was a bit older than me, which was quite controversial when I was at high school, but he also had a Commodore 64 and he was teaching me how to...
If ever there was a reason to date someone back then, right?
It was the computer, right? Yeah, he taught me how to use MS-DOS, actually. And early in my career, I actually made a career out of being on the cutting edge of technology. So I learned MS-DOS, I learned Windows, went to work for an accounting firm, learned Solution 6. Then learned Novell Networks because that was sort of about the 89, 90 sort of crash. And I was put in a job that I was way underqualified for and way too young for. But it was just like, she looks like she's got a bit of a spark about her. Let's just train her up. And then I went from there to learning about Microsoft Windows NT was back then, and I was the first female to get qualified in that in New South Wales. So I am a diehard nerd. I do have a certificate at home. It's not on my wall anymore, and it's a bit yellow with age, but still something that I kind of look back on and think, yeah, I did that.
That's amazing. I just think back at, you mentioned the Micro B. That was the first computer we had at our house. It was that green on green screen. It made incredibly annoying noises when you're playing games like Emu Joust and things like that, the Minesweeper and things that kids nowadays would roll their eyes at. But to think that it's gone so far, even the Commodore 64, I mean, I used to get about 45 minutes of bike riding exercise between loading up games on the Commodore 64 because I had to use the cassette tapes. I didn't have the floppy disk. I had the old style one. You used to ride for 45 minutes, come back in and hope the game had loaded and not errored. It's amazing how far it's come when we now look at AI and the way that it can work. When you think about the transition to AI, what's the most amazing breakthrough that you've seen it do? The moment where you sat there and went, hold on, we're breaking into new territory here. This is pretty amazing.
Well, the OG, the event last year, 30th of November, as I mentioned, ChatGPT being unleashed on the world. That was a moment not just for what ChatGPT could do, but because all the computers that we've been talking about require some sort of learning curve. I had to get my boyfriend to teach me how to use MS-DOS. I had to learn how to use Solution 6. There was actually some skill in getting what you wanted out of these things. Whereas with ChatGPT, we've been using prompts or, we've been chatting to computers for years with thanks to Telstra, Optus, every energy company ever, we've spent hours learning how to do that. So there is no learning curve. And the second thing that makes that quite a remarkable event, again, it's not the technology, it's the fact that it's free. So you didn't have to go to school and you don't have to earn a lot of money. Like I even remember the Commodore 64 back in the day was an expensive piece of kit, right? But you can just go and create yourself an OpenAI account. And you can respond to an email as though you're university educated for free. That's the game-changing thing about what's going on now. And I think what's kicked off a whole wave of innovation to do with AI. I mean, if you want a specific example, last night I was playing with a webinar of mine and playing with an AI tool called HeyGen, which allowed me to translate parts of my webinar into all sorts of languages, French, German. And I've tested them, I have a very good friend of mine, Susan, who speaks fluent French and German. She used to live in Switzerland. And I sent her the video without actually telling her that it was AI. I said, how do you think my French is coming along? And just sent her the video. And she went, Sally, it's amazing. Like, I didn't realize that you were even learning French. And I said, I had help. And same thing you would have seen. I posted a few videos on Facebook last night. I posted the French version, the Hindi version, the German version, and the Italian version. I wish I was that multilingual, but I think there were people on Facebook that actually believed that I was learning languages.
I suppose this is the amazing and also equally scary thing about this, right? Is that we're entering in a world of where people can't always trust what they're seeing with their own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Does that scare you or excite you?
Well, first of all, this is really me, and hopefully that's really you. But yeah, it is fair.
But this is it, right? You could be doing podcast interviews or broadcast interviews, and you just get your AI to do it. That's probably where we're going to be in 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, you could absolutely do that. I mean, I've created videos of me without a camera where I didn't have to do my hair or put makeup on like I did for you, Jonathan. But it is very possible that you won't have to do that. And the technology is getting so good that it may not be so detectable to someone. Now, obviously, if that falls into the wrong hands or someone decides to use it, nefariously or whatever, then we're all in trouble. But I can actually see, on the other hand, some productivity gains. Think about training, think about learning, think about onboarding a new employee whose English is not so good. Think about communicating with overseas buyers if you're a real estate agent, things like that. I can see it used for good and I can see it used for not so good, but hopefully people will go towards the good.
Yeah. There's a couple of things that you've raised in my head. The first one is I've been having conversations with my kids lately, particularly the older one who's having to choose her final subjects, for high school, and one of those subjects is a language. And my whole argument to her, or and particularly when she gets really busy with her homework, is just leave the language to the end, because you know what? You're not going to need it. Your headphones are going to do it for you or for the person you're speaking to. Like, learning a language now is almost just a hobby or a pursuit that you do for pleasure, because the technology, as you demonstrated last night on Facebook, and if I was a half-decent producer of my own show, I would have been smart enough to grab those videos and play some today. But what I'll do is I'll tag or I'll link those into this post so people can go and watch them. It is incredible. And I think the breakthrough for AI when I first saw it, and to think that ChatGPT has only really been out in the world not even a year, yet everyone knows it. Like, just from a branding perspective, I find that incredible. But the breakthrough for me was, it was first demonstrated to me in about April, was I was just about to do a deal with my book publisher to record an audiobook, and it was going to cost me, I was going to have to share the cost, thousands of dollars. And I was like, well, I could just record it at home. No, you have to come to a studio. But now what I can do is I can just feed my book into AI, and I can have Samuel L. Jackson or Morgan Freeman, whoever I want to have, read my book. And it's done in 20 minutes. That's staggering to me.
I think that's a personal choice. Like, going back to your daughter for a moment, you could almost say you could learn anything from AI right now. There are some biases and things like that, which let's not get into them at the moment, because I just want to sort of answer that as thinking about the process and thinking about us humans learning and the process of creativity and things like that. I still think that learning a skill, whether it be reading your book for the purposes of recording it or even learning a language, it still teaches us a skill, the skill of finishing something. I don't think that really matters what that is, so long as we learn that skill and the process of learning and the process of finishing and taking something away. What I worry about is that people will skip that. And, you know, like I said, I don't think it really matters what it is, thinking that the robot's going to finish it for them. Now, the robot might finish it for them, but I still think we need to hone our creative skills and hone our brains and things like that to keep one step ahead of the things that the robots can't do. And for that, we need to be able to continually apply ourselves.
So in a world moving forward where everyone has access to all the same information, because that's really what it's going to do, who wins?
It goes back to your first question, actually. The person who wins is the person that can use the time they save the most wisely. Let's run a couple of examples here, which are just everyday examples, right? You can use ChatGPT to write social media posts or generate ideas for the rest of the year of social media posts if you want to. But as a human, the process of finishing, you still need to be the one to press the button that either schedules the post to go out there, or you still need to decide whether that post that ChatGPT has suggested is going to engage your audience or not, because it doesn't know. It's just giving you ideas. And then also, let's just say you do take ChatGPT's suggestion and it has come up with a cracking suggestion, and it does, and you press the button and it's taken you 5 minutes instead of an hour. Then for those 55 minutes, I would be spending time engaging with people or connecting with more people that I've met. This is if I was a real estate agent. I'd spend that time connecting with more people that I've met and engaging with their posts, because, as you know, like with the work that you do, commenting is contenting. It's like a comment is creating content, but the added bonus of a comment is it's actually saying to the person, I acknowledge you, I see you, I appreciate what you've done. And I think that, in terms of building a relationship, is a smart way to use the time you've saved. And that's just one example. Like, let's just take a team example. For instance, I might be a leader in a real estate business. I can use ChatGPT to create policies and procedures, job descriptions, job advertisements. And so if I need to hire someone new, then I could have all of that admin paperwork done, you know, in 5 minutes that might have taken me 2 hours. Then what do I do with that 1 hour and 55 minutes? Well, if I was a smart leader, I'd be doing the things that someone like Matt LaHood does, walking the floor, checking everyone's mood, asking how they are, engaging in human conversation. That's how you win, I think, is by being smart about what you do with ChatGPT and then being extra smart about what you do with the time you save.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. In a podcast that I host with Darren Prattley from New Zealand called Blink, we always talk about continually growing your human network. And that's exactly what you're saying here. Your point about commenting on other people's social media posts is so undervalued. It's just something I talk about all the time and not enough people do it. So if there's anything you take from Sam today, audience, is that.
Yeah,
but be genuine about it. Be real, relevant and relatable. Don't just go in there and leave a stock standard, what a great post. Consume their content, do a little bit of thinking and be smart in how you respond. I think the other point that you made too is that you see these YouTube videos all the time. Hey, combine ChatGPT with Canva and create 1,000 short videos for Instagram in 17 and a half minutes. But the key is still making sure that what you post is relevant to what's happening at the time that you post it. And that's where the human still has to play the role.
Yeah, and I think from soup to nuts, and I hate that expression because I don't even know why you'd start with soup and end with nuts, but it's always something that's completely confused me. But even if you
came up for the answer, what does it mean?
Yeah, what is soup to nuts? Yeah, I know what it means. It's just a weird expression. But you could start with, give me the ideas, and then you could say, now create me the posts. Now suggest an image, go to Midjourney, create your images, use some sort of a scheduling tool to schedule them all, use another tool to boost the ones that seem to do all right or that get engagement, and then use another tool to analyze how everything's gone. But you know, if you don't intervene at those various points, you could boost something. And I always say to people, don't boost content just because people say, well, organic reach is dead. I don't think organic reach is dead. I think it's just that people post bad content and boosting it gives bad content more reach, if you know what I mean. So create good content to start with, and then you might not have to spend so much money. And the commenting thing is a big thing in that strategy as well, because that tells your algorithm that you're participating in the platform and that you're important to your followers and your followers are important to you.
Yeah, I'm an organic reach guy all the way down. That's where the space that I play. And I think for some people, they don't understand that, you know, there is the ability just to play organic. There's also the ability to sort of have a hybrid post content and then boost your better content, which is a great way to go to speed things up and get that reach. And then there's people who just play on Facebook and other platforms purely pay to play to really get returns. And yeah, they're doing things, you know, the guys and girls that are doing that at the sharpest end. Yeah, they've got 17 different versions of a website with 17 different colors to the heading and different fonts. And then they're calculating whether they're getting 0.3% of a more of a conversion. Now that's to the extreme end, but that's the ability that you can do it. And AI will probably help you get sharper at that quicker, which is attractive. But I also think mass market, particularly, and let's switch to real estate, particularly in real estate, I think there's still so many people in real estate that don't quite have a handle on the power of social media. And I worry about them that if they don't hurry up and learn the power of social media, and then they start jumping to AI, they're going to be using AI in a way that's not as beneficial to them as it should be. In fact, it could almost end up being damaging, particularly if they're putting out bad content. Now, there was an agent here recently in my hood who had 70,000 views on a video and 2 likes. And I went into the likes, and the likes were him and his personal assistant, because I looked her up on the website. And I rang him and said, hey, I'm not trying to sell you anything, so disarm yourself. But I think you'd be better off if you changed your content from this that you're posting and do more of this and maybe don't put any money behind it. And if you are still spending money on the one that's got the 70,000 views, you could probably stop spending that money now and save it. And he told me to F off. I was like, okay, no worries. They don't understand it.
Yeah, unless, what do they say? People are looking to change. They're not looking to change. I mean, that applies to real estate and all sorts of things, but people have always got to have their taxi lights on to say that they're available and open to a new idea. Otherwise, you know, you could just be talking.
We should introduce a system to that across real estate, that if you're open to developing and progressing and changing, you put something on your front window or a special emoji on your social media accounts, and then Sam and I will know that we're allowed to ring you and not annoy you. And then everyone else, you can just go and do whatever you want to do, no problem. So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and then we'll spend less time. Actually, this is called prospecting, Jonathan, speaking to people that want to speak to you.
But it'll save us time in prospecting. That would be, you know, we only have friendly conversations. So Sam, with this whole AI progress, and I know you've been traveling the country, putting on great keynote presentations and introducing people to the world of AI, what are the steps that someone who's completely new to it all should take to get an introduction and a taste to this?
That's a big question, and I think I have an answer for you. So number one I would say is...
Well, if you don't, you know, just chat GPT for the answer and then...
Someone else asked me this and I had to think of the answer myself. This is a human answer. So number one is, yes, I have been running seminars and I've been doing a bunch of stuff, and we've been doing a bunch of what I would call experimenting and playing in public. And I say play because even what I've found is that things are changing so rapidly. I can't stand here and say to you, I know everything, or even pretend to it, because our imaginations, as Brad Inman has pointed out, aren't big enough to see what's coming. And so I would say number one is just to think of it as playing. You know, I started playing on my blog, AI Powered Agents. I've been posting a prompt a day that I've just been playing with for real estate agents, things that I've tested. Now, a lot of those prompts on my site will look very simple, but often it takes me 2 hours to get to a prompt that actually works. And I do that through playing and through posting what is absolute rubbish and what has actually worked for me. And that's an approach that I think everyone should probably take with AI at this early stage, is I'm going to have a play with it and I'm going to see what happens. The second thing is adaptability. So we talked a lot about this at Elite Retreat this year, AQ being the new EQ. Silicon Valley are hiring on AQ at the moment, and it's your ability to roll with the punches when things don't go the way that you thought that they would go, whether that's in a work context or a personal context. And we all got very good at adaptability through COVID, right? You know, we all had to kind of roll with the punches because a lot of what happened then was outside of our control. There was a lot of stuff happening to us, and you can get really upset about what's happening to you, and that's okay, so long as you can move forward from that and, you know, go, all right, well, the way I was doing this yesterday does not work anymore. I've got to move forward for my own progress and happiness. So what are some other ways that things might work, or what else can I try that might work? And that's the place that we all should be at right now, you know, is thinking about how we interact with AI as playing. And then I think the third thing is always remember it's a first draft. So at the moment, you know, there are plenty of examples on my blog on AI powered agents. And the reason I set up a separate blog to Elite Agent is because, you know, yourself, when you set up a digital platform for news, it's got to have a certain brand and things have got to have a certain style and a certain tone. And with AI powered agents, I wanted to be able to play, test, write a post that was 4 or 5 sentences long, or write one that was 2,000 words long without having to worry about constraints of the Elite Agent brand. And there has been plenty of times where what I've tried just hasn't worked, but you got to tell yourself that's okay. And one day that might get better or it might not. But there's also plenty of occasions where things just haven't worked like I thought that they would.
But they're all, it's all learning, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's part of adaptability, I think, is having that learning mindset and ensuring that you're not going to go, well, this doesn't work, I'm just going to throw my toys out of the toy box and AI is a fallacy and it's not going to be around for much longer and, you know, all that sort of thing. You know, and just keep with the, we're at an early stage. ChatGPT does make things up. I look at some of the outputs and again, I've got instances where it's just like, I know that between the facts, ChatGPT has made things up. That's just where we at the moment. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So how does ChatGPT, for those who don't know, explain to them, how does it work? Where does it get its information from and how does it formulate it?
So the simplest way to describe this is think of a big sun with a whole lot of information in it. And if you've watched The Good Place, maybe even think of ChatGPT as a little bit like Janet. I don't know, are you a fan of The Good Place?
I don't watch The Good Place. I was thinking more of the sun out of the Teletubbies with the smiling baby face, but that's okay. That's because...
Yeah. No, but it's been trained on events up until September 2021. And so if you ask it to write a blog post about the Gold Coast, it'll look for what it knows about writing blog posts. It'll look for what it knows about the Gold Coast and then smash the two things together, interpreting your command in one hand, munching it all up in the other in the middle of this sun. I've drawn it as a sun in some of my presentations, yeah, and then coming back out as English language. And so that's why they get called large language models, because it's language in and then processing in the middle and then language out that we can understand.
So real estate agent, she said it references up to September 2021. I presume that'll get better and better as it goes on. But for real estate agents who are using, or any businesses that are using this to create content, would have to be really careful about not time stamping or requesting or altering their posts to say, hey, this is what the market's doing at the moment, because obviously the information's from the market from 2 years ago. So that's a problem.
I wouldn't be getting market information out of ChatGPT. There's a couple of things you could do, though. If you decide to pay OpenAI the $20 a month, you can install plugins. You can extend ChatGPT's capability with plugins. One of them is called WebPilot, which will allow you to browse the web and get information more current than 2021. So that's one thing.
And then pump that into the sun.
Yeah. Well, yeah, then that brings information into the sun.
Oh, like, I'm getting
it. Just remember, big yellow circle. Well, the other thing you could do is, and I've tried this a few times, is, again, extending ChatGPT's capabilities. You can chat to things like PDFs, or even data. I can upload a CSV, like I created some dummy data, some Net Promoter Score dummy data, uploaded it into, it used to be called Code Interpreter, and now it's called Advanced Data Analytics or something or other. Everyone that has ChatGPT 3 or 4 has got it. And you can basically upload it and chat to your data. So I haven't tried it yet with something like CoreLogix Value Pack, but I imagine you could upload that and then say, well, what happened last month in natural language, not the press releases and things like that that they send out.
So you can make it more relevant. You just got to take a few extra steps, which is really cool.
It's still going to take you less time than it took 6 months ago.
And also the fact that you could probably build some sort of an avatar and then feed that script or information into the avatar, and then the avatar does the video presentation for you. Because that's a big thing challenge I find in the work I do is, hey, you got to get out there, you got to be human, you got to connect with your patch, nurture your community. The best way to do it is on video because you can scale it. And then someone will sit there and go, I don't like being on video. And you're like, damn it, because you'd be really good if you did this. Like, it would change your world. But yeah, I just struggle to get them over the fear of being on camera. AI is going to allow them to get over that hurdle, isn't it?
Yeah, it won't be quite the same. But if it was a case of I want to send a market update report or something like that, yes, you could do that now. It wouldn't be brilliant. It wouldn't be like what you saw last night with the language translations. But yes, you could do it. And I imagine the technology will get better.
But it's just the power of what you can do, and then the creativity comes into it, right? So if someone is scared of being on camera, you can reduce their time. So you can say, hey, just record the intro and then let the AI do the rest with slides or graphics or whatever. And then you do the outro and say, hey, thanks for watching. See you later. So it opens up the world of content to people who are otherwise scared of it. It also opens up the world of the internet to people who haven't played here.
Yeah. I think a reasonable workflow for creating video on ChatGPT is your first prompt would be, I'm a real estate agent, give me 10 ideas for 10 videos that I could create, and it would give you the ideas. And then you would take the first one and go, right, with this heading, like, now create me a 1 minute script for TikTok for this topic. And then it would create you the 1 minute script. And then again, if I was a real estate agent, I would probably take that script. I'd upload it into Captions app, or something like that, or even Descript or something like that. I'd read it, I'd hit record, and then that would caption it automatically for me, either of those tools. Actually, there's probably a couple of steps I'd do in the interim. You know, before I uploaded it into Captions app, I'd probably do it 10 times. I'd probably create all 10, and then I'd upload them all at once, and then I would create the videos all at once, because then I've only got to do my hair and makeup once.
Batching, they call that.
Yeah, I know. That's not an AI concept. That's an old one.
That is certainly an old one, but AI is powering it up. So rather than people who have a day to record their content, you're turning it into possibly an hour, reducing it to an hour or so.
Yeah.
This is fascinating. What an enormously powerful tool moving forward. Where do you see particularly real estate agents using it to their greatest advantage, say principal owners who have got staff, multiple offices possibly? Where's the greatest advantage?
I think it's too early to tell, but I can tell you now that there's a few people out there that are using it just for simple things. Like, if you think about a property manager's life at the moment, and there are 4,000 vacant jobs on seek for property managers right now. Bo Miller, who was someone who did Transform earlier this year, because we started playing with ChatGPT during Transform, And what she did was she had, I think, 500 outstanding requests. And if you can get inside the mind of a property manager for a moment, they've got to say no a lot, and that creates conflict a lot. And the idea that ChatGPT can help you say no nicely, or perhaps in words that are not as, you know, because some situations can very easily go from everything's fine to DEFCON 11 just because somebody said the wrong thing on an email, not intentionally, but with that much stress going on, anything can happen kind of thing. But if you were to say, take an email, and obviously don't put any personal information into ChatGPT. And I've done this myself when I've had emails that I'm like, oh. But if you take the email and say, how can I respond to this as a human with a high EQ, ChatGPT will come up with a response that is very non-conflicting. It disarms it completely. So what happened with that is they cranked through this 500 outstanding emails or something rather in no time at all.
My golden rule for that was never write an email after midnight. Because that will always get you in trouble. But now I can do that after midnight, but just put it through ChatGPT with high emotional intelligence.
And that's the prompt. You know, write that prompt down, respond to this as a human with a high EQ. Or, you know, I'd give ChatGPT a role, say I'm a marketer, I'm a real estate agent, I'm a property manager, I'm a whatever. And for extra points, maybe include a goal. My goal is that. So then ChatGPT knows who you are, knows how to write the email because of the tone, has the information that it's responding to, and then knows what the outcome it is you want. There's an example I use in my keynotes. I write an email to my boss about the bad coffee in the office in the tone of James Bond, with the outcome being we want a new coffee machine. And I mean, if anyone's listening, try that prompt. You get a different response every time, but I guarantee it will make you laugh and it actually hits all the points. And so just bring that process into a real estate context and, yeah, it will save you heaps of time.
That is a fascinating use of the technology. It's actually helping humans be better communicators.
Yeah, well, like I said, you could be a university-level communicator without finishing high school.
Yeah. So it's filling in the gaps for the faults in almost personalities. Then the step before that becomes that people should become really self-aware of their strengths and their weaknesses in terms of communications and how they interact. So that's interesting itself. There's probably a whole other industry in profiling that. What's your gap that AI to help you with?
Again, I would caution everyone thinking about using that to make sure that they read the response that ChatGPT gives them before they blindly go, let me save time, control C, control V, send. Don't do that.
Yeah, there's even some real concerns around the teachers might be using it to write school reports, kids certainly using it to write their assignments and things like that. And now there's even, I believe, AI-powered engines to check whether school reports have actually been written by AI.
Yeah, but they've already been canned because they're inaccurate. But there's been a big debate about ChatGPT and AI in schools, and it's a little bit like introducing calculators in year nine. Do you remember when you got your scientific calculator in year nine? I mean, I do. It was back in the dark ages, obviously, for me. But
the first thing any boy does in early high school when they get a calculator, they type out the word boobs. 80085. There we go.
Upside down. Look at this. I can remember because I lived with my grandparents when I was younger, and they didn't compute the idea of having the theories. They were like, schools are just not what they used to be. Everything's going to absolute crap because they're giving students a calculator and the calculator would do.
If you don't know how to do long division.
Yeah. Back in my day, that would never have been allowed and we had to do everything by hand. Well, good. But do you feel like there is a bit of a similarity here now with debate about AI in schools?
I think absolutely. And you would have seen this with technology, and I've seen it all the time with technology, is that the structures and the restraint and almost the police that monitor it are always behind the actual frontline disruptive technology. And it just takes time for policies and positions and the way to framework something to catch up. And we're just at that early stage where okay, there might be 2 or 3 years where a few students get away with writing some projects and getting a better mark than whatever because they use computers to write them a better report, but they probably end up being better workers in a workforce because they've learned how to use this tool that no one else in the business they go to work at, like you when you're at PwC at the bottom and you got put in a position where you said you were well under resourced or experienced to do, but you showed the insight at that stage that other people didn't even know to take the lead. And I think that's what's going to happen with ChatGPT. You're going to get kids going into companies that they've heard about it, but they haven't really looked at it. And the power and the value of that outweighs any mark from a B to a C. You know what I mean?
I think too, you know, like smart people, or even if I was a student, I'd go, this student got an A and this student got a B. Let's run both through ChatGPT and see why. Again, it's like a bit of a gap analysis, like what would I need to do to get the A next time? And if you could do that quickly, you'd give yourself feedback way more often.
My daughter was doing a maths SAC. That's some sort of an assessment task they do down here. And her scientific calculator had a little conniption. She couldn't get it to restart, and then they had to sort of stop the clock on her doing the work. And so, yeah, technology always brings complexities. And as you've alerted and warned people all the way through, this is ChatGPT and AI isn't quite perfect yet, but I think your approach of go in there and play with it, because all fear comes from the fear of the unknown, go in there and play with it, become familiar with it. Even if you spend a year just playing with it before you actually use it, you'll be way better off than waiting a year before you even have a look.
Even if it's just
not going anywhere, is it? This thing's going to integrate its way into our lives. You know, as simple as if you wake up in the morning and pick up your iPhone and swipe down to have a look at the top apps, it's going to suggest the apps that you use at that time of the day most, like the radio station you listen to when you're having a shower. Or if you're near McDonald's, the McDonald's app's going to be in the top of the list, or the banking app. That's AI as well. These devices are getting smart based on our behavior.
That's it. Everything like Facebook is almost entirely AI. What happens on the back end with all of the ad platforms, they've been using AI for years. It's just that it's reached the stream of consciousness of the masses now with ChatGPT.
Facebook, I remember all the time, my friends and I were talking about dogs, and then an hour later I got an ad in my Facebook feed about dogs. It's magic. Like, how did they know? I was like, yeah, no worries, magic.
I reckon they're listening.
Yeah, they're listening. Samantha, thank you for joining us on Spring Into Action. What a great chat. What a mind-opening chat about this new frontier that's coming. I suppose one of the main points I want to get across with AI is I just don't want people to be scared of it. And we mentioned earlier that maybe somewhere along the lines it might be used for evil. And I think if we look at big political campaigns and whatever they call them, what do they call them when they put voices and it's fake video and all that sort of stuff? I can't remember what they call it, but
fake news.
Oh, yeah, it's fake news. And I wish I had that. I've gone blank. I need ChatGPT to give me the name. But anyway, it's the dark use of it. I don't think we need to worry about that. It's the same fear that people had about having Facebook on their phones, putting their photo of their kids and their school online. It's all, yes, okay, it can be used in bad ways, but there is also a lot of good that comes with this sort of technology. And you're a champion of that. And hopefully for the viewers, they're a lot clearer now on how they can use ChatGPT. And hopefully they go and give it a go and play. Where do they go to play? Where's the best place to start?
Well, if you're an agent, there's a lot of examples on my blog, AIPoweredAgents.com. There's a few other good websites out there which you should check out. Obviously, chat.openai.com, which is ChatGPT. There's another one I've just discovered lately called Poe, P-O-E, and that will allow you to compare all of the different models. You know how there's ChatGPT and Google Bard and Llama and all of those different clawed by Anthropic.
Back to weird quirky names again. We're going back to weird names again.
Yeah. And the final one I'd like to recommend, it's not a real estate specific site, but it's called futuretools.io, run by a really great guy by the name of Matt Wolf. If anyone's familiar with the Hustle and Flow Chart podcast, Matt was the Hustle out of that, he's really taking a deep dive into AI, and futuretools.io will, there are hundreds of thousands of AI tools on that site. And if you're talking about, you know, shiny objects and losing time and things like that, definitely that's an amazing site to just have a play with and have a look at what's possible.
Sounds like the productivity of the rest of my afternoon has just flown out the window as I head to futuretools.io just to have a look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, great. Sam, thank you very much for joining us, and continue your great work. And if anyone's interested, make sure you go along to eliteagent.com. Go there, enjoy it, sign up, make sure you get onto the newsletters because that's where the good stuff is. Head over to AIPoweredAgents.com. That'll give you a good start as well. And I'm sure that if anyone has any questions, you're more than happy to take any on the socials, give you a follow and then drop a message.
Yeah, I'm Samantha McLean on all the socials, or Elite Agent Mag on all the socials. We sort of keep it consistent. Or if you're too shy for social media, drop me an email, samantha@eliteagent.com.
There you go, folks. Samantha McLean, thank you very much for joining us, and I look forward to catching up with you soon.
Peace. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast, with thanks to Connect Now. To stay in touch with all things Elite Agent, sign up for our daily newsletter, The Brief, at eliteagent.com/subscribe.